In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
I'm gonna try something a little different this time. I want to try cold open, because I'm gonna stick the intro on later.
Okay.
And then the outro like usual. So to them it will sound like usual, but we won't know what the hell we're doing. So I think that'll be fun.
I think it'll be too.
So, hello. Oh, you're here. Hi.
You left the air conditioner on.
Crap. We'll be right back. Hold on. No, wait, we don't edit, so I guess I can't stop.
No, but you can't stop.
Wow. Okay.
I wonder if that was loud or.
I have no idea.
Maybe we'll find out.
There'll be
wasn't.
Nothing, so. Yes. Hi. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast anywhere that in its younger days mixed up David Eddings and Neal Stephenson because of the whole Diamond Age, Diamond Throne thing. Anyway, hi, I'm Tony.
I'm William.
And this is episode 25, our silver weekiversary.
Luniversary, I suppose.
Luna.
No, we do it every week, don't we?
I was going to say.
I don't know what the word is for week.
I don't think there is one, hence weekiversary.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, probably. I'm right.
Okay.
Always. So, week 25, so silver. So, William, as a gift, I got you this silver-plated pork chop.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you. I'll treasure it always.
Yes. I was going to get you some silver-plated chicken, but I couldn't find any.
Okay. Well, and I got you
I asked them for it at the store, and they said, that's just nutty. And I said, no, and I'll sue you if you say that.
Don't let him say that. And yes. I got you this silver-plated carrot, so.
How lovely. Nice, yeah.
You know what? Maybe you should.
Teeth marks.
Maybe you should keep yours and I'll keep mine, and we'll just pretend that.
Yeah, because otherwise it's sort of a really stupid gift of the Magi sort of thing. Otherwise, so yeah.
I'll just say it's from you.
I cut off my hair to pay for this pork chop, and you're a fucking vegetarian. Or something. I don't get how the gift of the Magi works, apparently. Yeah. So.
So did you do your game this past week?
Yes, I did.
How'd that go?
We might be jumping ahead here.
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to ask me first.
Yeah, did you consume any interesting media this week, William?
No, did you play your game this week?
Yeah! Yes, we did. We had our first actual session that was not character creation or planning or shit like that. It was like actual, the game happening.
Yeah. Well, how'd it go?
Well, it lasted about 2.5 hours.
Wow, is that good? Or?
It's about what they're going to be, probably.
Okay.
But we had kind of a hard end point because somebody had to leave. And so hopefully they might be a little longer than that normally. But the game starts on a space station. And after 2.5 hours of playing, they are almost to the space station.
But I thought it started on the space.
Yes, we did not get very far.
Well, I don't understand.
Technically, it started on a ship that was going to be on the space station.
They all on the same ship?
Yes, at the moment.
Aren't they supposed to end up on the same ship? I thought that was the end.
Yes. Well, but no, that's different. This is ultimately the premise here is that there is a newly basically opened area on the fringe of space, and one of these four people has a way to get a hold of a spaceship that they can fly around and do whatever they want, trade or explore or, you know, find their fortunes one way or another out on the frontiers of space.
But they need a crew.
And so they all decide, yeah, so they contact their friends and their friends' friends, and they have these four people. And so they've been spending, like, Well, it took them a few weeks to get together, and then they've been spending 4 weeks since then getting out there.
To where? To the dock or something?
To the area of space.
Oh, I see.
It's a long ways away. That's yeah. Takes a long time. And they got there, but the way faster than light travel works in this game, they got into the star system, and then they had to get out of jump space, and it still take them like a week to get there.
Oh.
So, long time. And what I let them do first is just have some in-character time just talking, because they needed to start discussing logistics about what specifically they were actually going to do out here, and how specifically they were actually going to do whatever it is.
I see.
So, I let them have time with that. And I just sort of let it go. So I even told them, I said, I'm not going to stop this conversation. You guys tell me when you're done. And so they did that. And I think it was good. It's not something I want to do regularly. Because, I mean, it was essentially a lot of time doing nothing. But it was good, especially for the beginning here. Gave them a chance to sort of get into their characters' heads. And that was kind of fun. Okay. And then I gave them a little bit of adventureness in that, as they were almost at the space station, pirates showed up, and so they were running around trying to help the captain and crew out with that. And so that was fun, and I thought it was a good, you know, jump in intro where something's actually happening. And so, but they wrap that up, so pretty much next time they'll land at the space station
and find their ship.
That's the plan.
And then hijinks will ensue.
Hijinks will ensue. Exactly. Exactly. You know where I got that from?
No.
Years and years ago, it was in a synopsis of a Shakespeare play.
Oh.
Because we always used to go to the Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon. And I was a kid, and so even particularly for me, my parents would buy these synopses and read them to me. So they're like, this thing you're going to see tonight, here's what's happening in it, because you won't be able to tell while you're watching. And I forget which one, but one of the comedies, I assume, says at one point, hijinks ensue. And we always thought that was the most hilarious phrase, so I use it all the time now. Yeah, because if there's anything I know how to do, it's beat a joke to death over a period of 25 years. I don't even think my parents could remember that that's where that was from now. Seriously, so you consumed no interesting media this week?
No.
Wow. What did you do this week?
Not that I can remember. I could try to remember and then give up, and that would be a segment.
And then give up. No, you have to half remember first.
Oh, I don't even half remember, yeah. Unfortunately.
So what did you do all week?
Oh, just my usual stuff. I'm working on a couple projects. You know, the novel's not ready yet, and so I'm working on that. But while I'm waiting for the editor, I'm working on another project with a friend of mine in Michigan, and then I'm planning on when the third novel's done, putting the three novels together. I'll sell the novel by itself, but I'm going to put the two previous ones together in one volume, and I think I'm going to put some short stories in after it.
Ah.
So I'm looking at some of the short stories I've written, that some of them are okay and some of them are crap, and I'm figuring out, okay, how can I make this better? Am I going to put this in? Or not? And then there was another short story I was thinking about doing and adding it, but I don't know if I'm going to. So, you know, it's mostly involves working on projects that are pending or figuring out what other short stories I'm going to put at the end of the compilation when I publish that. So, So that's what's been going on there. But that's, you know, that's it. And in the evenings, you know, the kids are home, and sometimes we play board games or, you know, watch movies. Like we've been watching Stan Lee's Superhumans. Did you ever hear that?
Isn't that a reality show?
It's like six episodes. Stan Lee sends this guy out to find superhumans. And, you know, some people seem to have really odd abilities and some people don't really, but...
Isn't this a reality show where there's people who like think they're superheroes, basically?
No.
That must be the show that's on right now. There's one right now that's like that.
There's this Stanley.
Stanley's always making weird.
Stanley has
like this
guy who this guy who's really flexible, you know. So Stanley considers him superhuman because he has superhuman flexibility. He sends him out to find people, other people who are superhuman, who can do something that other people can't do. Like one of the guys...
Like they, shovel well?
No. That would be interesting. But one guy they found...
Like turn invisible, but only when people aren't looking?
Looking, yeah. One guy they found in India can take huge amounts of electric shock. Now, huh. I don't know what good that will do, although...
I was going to say, it's kind of a niche thing here.
Well...
He's really good in a very specific kind of fight.
He can conduct it too. I mean, as it's flowing through him, it can flow to something else. But one of the God kids thought that he could possibly. It's not much of an ability you'd use, say, in crime fighting or whatever. But he could have some kind of a suit or a power pack or something that he could carry that would allow him maybe to shoot electricity or whatever. So that he could do that, but other people can't because they don't have as much internal electrical resistance or whatever. The only problem with that is the more energy that's flowing through him, the more electricity is flowing through him, the worse his eyesight gets.
Huh.
When he's conducting a huge amount of electricity, it doesn't seem to affect him in any other way, but his vision goes until the current stops.
The Amazing Lightning Man and his seeing eye dog.
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
Crypto.
This is really weird. Some of the things that people can do is really strange.
No, it's really weird that some of the things they put on TV.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it was
or
kind of
Netflix.
I thought it was kind of maybe. I thought it was kind of interesting. Some of the people were just like this one guy spent a lot of time living with wolves. And so he learned how to sort of communicate with them. So, like, if he can get in a cage while they're, you know, feeding and stuff and just in a frenzy and would normally attack a human being, but he can get right in there and he can...
So he's going to have an unholy army of the night?
I don't know. But, I mean, that's not exactly superhuman. I mean,
it's not. That's what we call learned behavior over some time, yeah. Doing weird shit.
Yeah. Another guy can do calculations, I mean, quicker than a calculator?
Yeah, we call that autism.
No, he's not autistic. But they did a brain scan of him while he was doing these calculations, and it turns out he does these calculations in a different portion of his brain than other people do. And it allows him to just kind of do that. But I don't know, again, is that genetic, or is that something that, you know, because of something that happened while he was growing up caused him to do that or to figure that out? I mean, I don't know.
Why do you sound like you've been chain smoking all week?
I think I am kind of struggling with a cold. It hasn't come on full force yet, but it's trying to, I think.
It's kind of smoky, kind of sexy. It's creeping me out.
So anyway, it was kind of an interesting show. Kind of interesting, but whatever.
You guys play any video games?
One of the kids is kind of revisiting Oblivion. In Oblivion, Elder Scrolls 4 or whatever it is, You know, there's several guilds, and
the head of all of them now.
Well,
I believe
that's what he wants to do.
Yeah,
he wants to go in and be the head of all the guilds, so he's trying to do that. It's kind of interesting to watch because it's funny because, you know, I watched a few people play it, but nobody ever became the head of like the Fighters Guild, for example, or the Thieves Guild, as far as I know. So there's all these places that he's going that I didn't even know existed in this world, yeah. Which is really weird. I mean, it's vast.
It's huge, yeah.
And it's amazing that you can watch someone play it for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and do all these things, and in the end, there's still things that they didn't see or whatever. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. The Thieves Guild is worth it because it's a very interesting story to me at the end. And actually, so is the Assassin's Guild. In fact, the Assassin's Guild is a messed up story that like gave me nightmares and stuff. Well, and they also have really, the Assassin's Guild stuff has a particular music that they use at certain points when it gets really freaky,
mm-hmm.
that messes me up. So the Assassin's Guild really freaked me out.
Well, you can become a vampire in that whole thing.
Yes, you have, there's other ways to become vampires, but during the Assassin's Guild one of the Assassin's Guild guys is a vampire. And if you're cool enough, like, he eventually says, hey, I'll make you a vampire if you want to, just let me know.
But it seems like it doesn't seem like a very fun thing to be. I mean, you can't be out in the daytime.
There are some severe limitations, but there's some cool stuff for it. I could see playing it through like a second time and being a vampire, but yeah, I chose not to. And honestly, it's not a big deal either because it's pretty easy to become a vampire. Yeah. Under certain circumstances, you pretty much just walk into a cave and then don't kill the vampire when it comes up to you, and eventually it'll get you.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I had to cure myself of it a few times.
Well, that's the problem. There's some PS3 bug or something that, or on the version of the game we have, it's the Game of the Year edition or something.
Yeah.
There's a bug that it you can't cure yourself of it. You go through the process and there's a glitch in one point and you can't get past it.
Well, there's no workaround. Cure it. Like, once you really become a vampire, there's only one cure, and it actually comes as part of the downloadable content, I think. But, like, once, if you just, like, just get bitten, usually there's stuff that you can do.
Oh, I see.
It's getting bitten and then, I think, going to sleep.
Yeah, right.
Then you're a vampire and then you're hosed.
Right, but before you sleep, there are things you can
do.
Yeah,
you just take, like, a cured disease potion.
Right.
That's why I carried around cured disease potions. Mm. Was purely when the vampires friggin' bit me. Because they like to do that. I have discovered, I've completed an awesome game that I think I talked about before, and its major limitation was that I thought it was only on Xbox 360. I now found out it is also via Steam playable on PC.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish to highly recommend to everyone...
Bastion?
Bastion, yeah. Yes. I finally beat Bastion, and... It was really cool. Like, it's a very good and serviceable action RPG. And it has a lot of customizable stuff.
Hmm.
And it's fun. And that's cool. It's not very long. But the artwork, the music, and the story is just really kind of awesome. And it's a very philosophical game. Because you're basically... The game starts and pretty much the world has been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through the process of sort of bringing back what's left. But as time goes on, the issue of why it got destroyed and what you're bringing back and whether or not you want to and stuff comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting. I like it a lot. I played it through once. I may play it through again. Ezzy, what are you doing?
Well, I guess she wants to be on the show again.
She's trying... Ah! Stop moving the thing.
It's been a while.
Do you want to talk, or do you just want to sit here and cause trouble? That answers that.
It's like she can tell that that's what you're paying attention to, so she wants to make sure...
If there's weird feedback things going on, people, that's because Ezzy's butt keeps bumping into the microphone, so deal with that. Also saw a movie last night.
Oh, what'd you see?
The Debt. Yes, D-E-B-T, as in to owe somebody something.
Yeah.
The Debt. The Debit.
Who's in it?
Helen Mirren.
Oh.
Tom Wilkinson. Sam Worthington. Mostly Helen Mirren. I mean, that's why we went to see it.
Yeah.
As my wife says, I would watch that woman eat toast. Sadly, she doesn't eat toast in this movie.
Oh, well, that's disappointing, I suppose. No.
It is a movie about... it's based on a true story, and I believe based on a book that became a movie, and this is essentially based on that movie. of...
What?
There was a movie before.
Like... Years and years and years ago? Or?
I don't know how long. It can't have been too long ago, because some of the events take place in 1997.
Oh.
But it was also not in this country. It was a foreign movie. And this one was,
okay.
You know, we do that shit all the time. We're like, we can't handle your movie. We need an American one. But it's about in the 60s, there were three Ezzy.
Three Ezzies?
No. In the 60s, there were three Israeli Mossad agents... who tracked down a particularly nasty, still surviving Nazi who was living in East Berlin. And they were trying to bring him back for trial. And what happened was things got screwed up. He ended up dying instead. They ended up having to kill him because he was going to escape and stuff.
Oh.
And then this is in 1997. And... I'm trying to say this in a way that's not like spoilery and things, but well, basically what it ends up coming up is there are rumors that he's still alive. Even though they killed him. And so that sort of has to get looked into, and a lot, like half the movie is a flashback to the 60s.
Okay.
And how things went down there and stuff, but they sort of, yeah, and hijinks ensue. And Helen Mirren is the older, the Mossad agents are two guys and one woman, and Helen Mirren is the older version of the woman.
And how was it?
I think not good.
Oh. Because she didn't eat any toast.
That's why the absence of toast. No, because we'll see, and I found this weird. I was very conflicted, and I'm still a little conflicted about the movie. The movie is pretty heavily misogynist. And I tell myself, I'm like, but it's based on a true story. And then I tell myself, does that then mean it's not an issue? Like, does that then mean it's okay to watch? Does that mean it doesn't make me cringe now because it's real? Like, and but it really is like so much of it is just this woman in the past and the present getting brutalized physically and mentally in all sorts of ways. It's got some
Really?
pretty serious violence in it, and
That I mean, given the synopsis of the plot, I'm surprised to hear all
well,
that.
it ultimately, and here's the thing. Ultimately, it's another movie about how the Nazis pretty much ruined everything everywhere and continue to ruin everything to this day, where their legacy still has people that are really messed up because of all the terrible stuff they did. And I'm at the point in my life where I don't ever need to see a movie or hear a story like that again. I'm at a point to where it can have no greater emphasis on me. There is no point where I can be like, wow, the impact of the Nazis was worse than I had thought. Like, I know there are people out there. I don't question the existence of such films. And, you know, I am all about never forgetting, but I can't forget at this point.
Yeah, gotcha.
And nothing surprises me now. It really makes me sad that I'm seeing it. So yeah, and I kind of, because you know, because it's set in, you know, 1997 Israel, and I thought, you know, it's not about Nazis, it's about Israel. But yeah, it's still, it has some good performances in it. It's really hard to watch, and I don't think it's worth watching. Because I mean, it's really hard to watch, and I don't think there's not really any payoff. I mean, the story has an end that I'm sure is based on what the real life ending was, but it feels really unresolved.
Yeah.
So I can't recommend it. I love Helen Mirren, but I can't recommend it.
Okay then.
Also, I can't buy Tom Wilkinson as an Israeli.
Why not?
Because he just looks so fundamentally British to me.
Oh.
Like, he had the accent down and everything, but just every moment he opened his mouth, I kept expecting to hear British accent. And Helen Mirren bought her at it. You know, there were a lot of Brits pretending. I mean, hell, Sam Worthington, I bought him as an Israeli. But Tom Wilkinson just looks too. He's like the platonic ideal of an older British man. He just and so I just couldn't buy it for a moment. It was weird.
So when Plato's in his cave and he sees
The Englishman,
the
yeah.
shadow of an Englishman, it's him,
It looks like Tom Wilkinson, yeah. Yeah, I just couldn't do it. But yeah, so I would not necessarily recommend The Debt. But
Okay.
I would highly recommend Bastion, so check that out. Or else. And William recommends Looking at Freaks by Stan Lee.
I don't know if I recommend it. It was kind of interesting.
Okay. Here are the hat.
Okay.
The hat feels heavier to me today.
Does it?
As though it has a new shipment of...
So when people submit things that the hat actually feels heavier, that's an interesting phenomenon.
Isn't it, though?
It is.
Yeah. Mix it up good so we don't just get all the ones off the top. All
right, well, you know, I don't like having my hand in here too long. I don't know what's going to happen.
Teeth.
The hat doesn't have teeth.
Oh. You don't know that.
Grab the book nearest to you, turn to page 18, and find line 4. What does it say?
Okay, who wrote this?
Doesn't say.
Here's a book. The book is Vicious Circle by Mike Carey.
Page 18.
Page 18.
Yeah. And line 4.
Line 4. Ooh, good one. The line reads, it's unfortunately the middle of a sentence. Demonically possessed psychopath, and he tends to run. Would you like to verify?
Verify? Fine, I'll verify. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, that's what it says.
Mm-hmm. Demonically possessed psychopath, and he tends to run. So, good one. For those of you playing at home, this is the paperback version of Vicious Circle by Mike Carey. So keep that in mind. This is the second book in a series of books that are arguably referred to as the Felix Caster books that I would recommend. They are very dark sort of urban fantasy books, but they really travel sort of somewhere between film noir and horror. Because they're very sort of dark, supernatural mystery stories. And I do recommend them. There are 5 of them. It starts with The Devil You Know. And then goes on to Vicious Circle. Dead Man's Boots. I don't remember what the 4th one is. And the 5th one is called The Naming of Beasts. So check those out. They're good. Mike Carey, for those of you curious... was a comic book writer for a very long time, and some of his most famous things are he was the writer of the entire Lucifer series, of which I am a big fan, and he also was the writer on the graphic novelization of Neverwhere, Neil Gaiman's famous TV show / novel.
Now the Lucifer stories are spinning off from Gaiman's
from Sandman. Lucifer is a series that spins off the character of Lucifer from Sandman into his own series that managed to go on for 11 volumes like Sandman did. And I have read all of those, and I like it. I like it almost as much as Sandman. There's a similarity to me. Ultimately, it's probably not as ingenious as Sandman. It's a lot funnier to me in places. And it's still a great sort of epic mythic story, and I really like it.
Okay.
I'm slowly collecting those. I have all the Sandman in big leather-bound volumes. I'm collecting the trade paperbacks of Lucifer bit by bit. I've got 3 or 4 of them now.
Cool.
Yes, so good question.
Anonymous.
Person.
Person who didn't sign.
Maybe the hat wanted to know what was on that. The book's been sitting next to the hat. Maybe the book was like, what the hell?
Very curious.
Okay, what do I got?
I don't know.
Aha! Got one here from Kia. Doesn't say Kia B, so I'm going to assume it's not her. Different Kia.
Different Kia. The yes. Other Kia.
Surely not our Kia. Kia B.
Nope, can't be her.
She's on the blog now as Kia B, B-E-E. Like Kia B, like a particular variety of the insect.
I see.
This is the elusive Kia B, which makes no honey, but has been known to bake an incredible pizza. Okay. Kia asks, Kia writes, West Coast versus Midwest versus East Coast. Pros and cons of each. Go for it.
West Coast versus Midwest versus East Coast.
You're so world traveled. Have you set foot out of the Midwest?
Of course. Sure I have.
Oh, you went to the West Coast one time. That's right.
One time?
To somebody about Lost.
I've been to California a couple times. Went to Marble, Colorado some time ago. As far as the West. East, I've been all over the place.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
When did you go there?
Well, let's see. I've been to New York City. I've been to...
When did you go to New York City?
Well, that was many, many years ago. I was like 10. I've been to Washington, D.C. a few times. You know, South Carolina, Tennessee, West Virginia. You know, I haven't been up into Boston or Vermont or, you know, any place like that. Massachusetts or Vermont or any place like that. But, you know, I've been a couple places in Florida. And, of course, I've been overseas. I've been to Moscow and St. Petersburg and Helsinki. And.
But he can't talk about that. That was on his missions.
And I've been to Canada a couple times.
Hey.
I know, that's the worst, right?
No, I love Canada. I'm sorry I haven't been to Canada in a while.
But
I need a passport now, and I lost my passport. So.
But, you know, West Coast, East Coast, Midwest, that... You take a lot out of it because there are states that are neither on the West Coast or the East Coast nor in the Midwest.
Yes.
So I guess we forget about those states.
Well, in general, I mean, we can get trickier and we can get the Southwest and all that jazz. And I might give the Southwest. The big one I think we're missing here in terms of a culture of the peoples, like a demonstrable difference between the people who live in one area versus another, I need that in the South, I think. I got the East Coast, the West Coast, the Midwest, and the South. Mm. Those, to me, are the four kinds of people in the U.S., in my experience.
But Kia doesn't care about them.
And the East Coast and the West Coast, not that different, surprisingly.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. Yeah. You know, if you're comparing the Midwest to the coasts. Although, I suppose that, you know, hurricanes are going to plague the East Coast more than, say, the West Coast. So there's that.
Yes.
But the West Coast experiences more earthquakes, maybe? Is that right? Sort of?
Well, lately, I mean, it used to just be California, but yeah there have been more up there. And also, recently we had a big earthquake in Virginia, so.
So much for that.
Screwed that up. West Coast has more evergreen trees. East Coast has more deciduous trees. West Coast has actual mountains. East Coast has Appalachians.
You don't think those are actual mountains, huh?
Have you seen the mountains in the West?
Well, yes, I've seen the mountains on both sides.
I do not consider the Appalachians, then, to be so much
different. But my kin is from the Appalachians, and they've called them mountains. Hillbillies.
So. They also call them hillbillies because they're hills.
Don't be insulting my kin.
Word.
Right, but, yeah, you know, culturally speaking... You know, probably not that much different. Midwest has, of course...
More gravy.
You've got the tornadoes that come through, but that's also something that seems to be happening in lots of places these days.
And the South gets a lot of tornadoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It used to be the winters were pretty severe in the Midwest, but, you know, not so... In the North, East, they're pretty bad, so...
Yeah, West Coast still gets lucky on that. When I... came out here for college, it was very weird. Back home on the West Coast, people acted normal. Out here in the Midwest, it was a little weird. And so it took time to really sort of get this into my head. And it was a lot of, there was a certain amount of increased friendliness, I would say. But tied to that was a certain amount of increased being all up in your business more than back home. Phone's ringing in the background. I don't know if anybody's hearing it. I'm not going to go answer it. I don't know if my wife will. We might just let it ring. We'll see. But anyway, yeah, so it was weird here. People were a little bit more friendly, a little bit more open, but a little bit more bugging you to be the same, as it were. And back home, it was normal. So when I would go home on vacation, it was normal. At a certain point after living here, I realized that here felt normal, and back home felt a little weird. Mm-hmm. People were a little aloof, a little standoffish, just a little bit. And I realized I had become a Midwesterner. That and the cornfields. But then, when I went down south, which I've done a few times now because I went over to Virginia, but also I've been to Florida now, it's the same thing again, by the same order of magnitude. People in the south, a little bit more friendly, a little bit more up in my business. And so it is. I have a very similar experience to when I used to go from the West Coast to the Midwest. And now the Midwest is my baseline, and south is that difference again. And in my experience, the East Coast, there are definite distinctive differences, but in that sense, it's very similar to the West Coast. East Coast is a lot more just one giant freaking city along the whole damn Northeast border. So I was in New York and Boston and all those, and it was just like all connected. And crowded, very crowded over there. All the states are so tiny.
Well, the Midwest and the West also share in common a particular agricultural importance that sort of overshadows the agricultural activities in the East.
That is true.
And California, Northern California, I suppose, really has everybody beat. There's this website I visited once where I was looking at, you could look up specific fruits and vegetables and find out what states were the major exporters of those fruits and vegetables. And I mean, you know, peas, corn, broccoli, whatever, you know, and some things that are a little more exotic, I suppose. California was number one in nearly everything. And where they weren't number one, they were number two behind, I don't know, Florida. Or something,
yeah.
For some citrus fruit. Iowa wasn't even on any of these lists.
Even for corn and beans?
Well, but see, we don't... This was... The corn that this website was talking about was corn that you eat.
Oh, no, we're mostly feed corn here.
Yeah, feed corn and corn that's going to be turned into high fructose corn syrup or whatever. Yeah. And the soybeans, same story.
No, we call it corn sugar now.
But,
so that everybody will know it's totally the same as regular sugar. Absolutely. It's not a completely different chemical model that digests differently in your body at all, damn it.
But yeah, Iowa is dominated by really two crops.
Corn and beans.
Corn and soybeans. And not the kind that you're shipping out to places for people to eat directly. So most of it goes to... I shouldn't say most of it. A good portion of it goes to confinement areas for cows and pigs. Mostly cows, I think.
Do the beans go for feed, too?
Some of it does. A good portion of it goes to cows in confinement lots, not in Iowa. We have pigs here, of course, is a big thing in Iowa.
And we have some cattle in Iowa, but yeah, it gets bigger south and west of us.
Yeah, pork production is the bigger thing. And I'm not sure how much of our grain production goes to our own swine, but yeah, we don't... Iowa, and maybe the rest of the Midwest is similar, although I think if you get more into the arid states, the further you go west, Kansas and such, you know, they're going to grow wheat and things like that.
Yeah.
But Iowa and maybe Illinois, and I don't know if Ohio would be included here as far as Midwestern states, but I think a lot of them are growing just like Iowa is, and in a way, I don't really consider that we're really growing food.
Mm.
You know, we're growing something, we're feeding to something someone's going to eat, or that's being processed and being put in food, but the, like, my dad's land back home doesn't grow food for people to eat, really.
No.
And it's kind of weird. A lot of people don't realize that who don't live in agricultural states. But California is majorly feeding the country, but only Northern California, I think. I don't know how much farming is done in Southern California. Do you, or?
They say it never rains in Southern California. I have no idea whatsoever.
But California is a weird thing. It's this long state, and there's kind of a schism between the Northerners and the Southerners in a way.
Yes.
In fact,
and Oregon.
Yeah, I knew a northern...
Oregonians hate Californians.
As a rule, just in general?
Yes. There's...
Even northern Californians?
Yeah, because they all come up and buy our damn land, and now we have smog in Portland because of those people.
The thing is, the people in northern California that I've known talk about how they want to split the state in two, and they want to have their own state.
Yes.
Because they can't stand the people in Southern California. Largely conservative and north and liberal in the south kind of thing.
And it's supposedly, I forget what it is, but there's a rivalry between San Francisco and L.A. But I've heard it's basically one way. I forget which. I think maybe it's like L.A. thinks that. No, maybe it's the other way around. San Francisco hates people in L.A. and thinks that people in L.A. hate San Francisco. But if you go to L.A., they just don't even know San Francisco exists.
Yeah.
So, but it may be the other way around. I don't know. But I ran into that, I think, on Kevin Pollak's chat show. There were several people, because there were lots of comedians that started in San Francisco and eventually moved to L.A. And they were talking about the rivalry that they thought was there. And then they got there and they're like, what?
I'm partial to the Midwest, having been born here and grew up here. So, you know, if you're asking... what the best one is, well, yeah, I'm partial to here.
Tony, the cons of the Midwest, however, are summer and winter.
Which is most of the year.
Yes.
I've never been very fond of the summers here, that's true. The winters I like, and I kind of missed this. They weren't very snowy for about 15 years, and now they're getting back to being snowy, which I like. Which I'm sure you don't
like. Yeah, no, in the 70s, this is a funny thing. Trish was talking about this, too, about when she's a kid, and she had always remembered winters being much more snowy than they were now. And she's like, and she always, for years, was like, you know, that's what you think when you're a kid. It all seems like more, whatever. And then she looked it up, and like, in the 70s, there was a lot more snowfall.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
It really was.
There really was, yeah. It was an interesting thing about, about 3 or maybe 5 years ago now. I don't know how long it's been now. The roads here were a wreck after the winter because there was a lot of snow that winter. It's the first year that there was a lot of snow in, say, 15 years. And it was really strange that because, you know, when you get a lot of snow and some of it melts and ice and whatever, it seeps into the cracks and you get potholes. Or
and don't forget all this, the salt and chemicals
are
used to try and de-ice the road.
So the roads get
fucked up.
Potholes and whatever, and you have to fix them. Well, the county wasn't prepared to handle it. And I thought, well, that's really odd. But then I realized, wait a minute, the last time any of the roads probably needed fixed after summer was 15 years ago. You know, most of the guys who did it are gone.
Yeah.
Retired.
Yeah.
And there are guys that have been in the department for 15 years and never had to do this. So, you know, surely the newer guys aren't going to know. And I thought that was pretty interesting. But yeah, I remember when you could count on the roads being really crappy in the spring because of the thaw and everything. And here it was happening again. And it was no big deal to me. But yeah, the county didn't know what to do because all the guys that knew anything about that were long gone.
See, I remember... I'm pretty sure it was January of 96 was my first time I was really spending winter here, and it was an actual blizzard. It was my first ever actual blizzard, and I was in college, so we didn't have any cars or anything. We were walking all over the place, and we literally had to stop between buildings and go into bathrooms and, like, splash warm water on our faces because we were going to get frostbite. It was amazing, and there were places you couldn't go because the snow was just piled up too high, and that was like nothing I had experienced back home ever.
Well, we didn't really, like I said, for a 15-year period, I mean, we always had some snow sometime, and sometimes we'd have a blizzard or a snowstorm and then nothing else.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a very, very long time. I'd probably, you know, maybe 96 was the last time it happened, and then it was very mild after that for a long time. And I was pretty disappointed for that whole period of time because I liked the snow. But it came back, and it's been nice. So, but a lot of people don't like it who live up here, and they move to Arizona or Florida or something when they get older.
Yeah, last year we had to freaking tunnel our way out. That was not good.
Yeah, see, to me, that's awesome. Because, see, in the Midwest...
Then you can come and do it at our house.
In the Midwest, it's great because... To me, it's great because it'll get as cold here as it... It can get as cold here as it gets in Duluth.
Yep.
But it'll get as hot and humid here as it gets in Orlando. I mean, it's...
But it'll also get that hot and humid in Duluth. Minnesota summers suck, too.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
But you just... I just like the extremes, I guess. And it's never boring and... I don't know. I don't think I...
Today, we had a heat index of 104.
Yeah, the school's let out early.
Oh, God, I know. I answered a lot of phones for a lot of people today that were just automated recordings from the school district. Okay, let's move on to a new question. I'm tired of this one.
Okay, sorry.
This is what, question three?
This will be number three.
So then it's your turn.
My turn, yay. Don't bite my hand, Ad. Don't bite the hand that
draws the thing draws from the you. Who's it from?
It doesn't say.
You get a blank card?
It says, does Odo in DS9 have a gender? Then it says, see attachment.
this is a very old question. This is a very old question.
Signed, in search of historical but not gender accuracy.
Yes, this is an extremely old question for which I was saving a document. I don't know what
you,
I did.
You were?
Yes. This is from, like, the second week we were doing this or something. Maybe I got rid of it. I think I finally got tired of having it here.
I've never really watched DS9, but I presume that when people talked about Odo, they used a pronoun that was either masculine or
feminine. I believe they used he. I don't know. And because... Well, I don't know. I mean, a big deal was made that there were never any gay people on Star Trek until arguably, I think, First Contact, a character who died midway through the movie was apparently going to be the first gay character, but we never got around to it. And Odo was prior to that, and Odo clearly had a thing for Kira. So that would sort of negate Odo being female. Did that logic make any sense?
Yeah, what you're saying is that it's conventional wisdom that before a certain time there were no gay characters in the Star Trek whatever.
Sort of now, still, there haven't managed to be.
Okay, and he was before that, so he would be included in the there are no gay characters.
And since he clearly liked a girl.
Yeah, that would make him.
But he could be gender neutral. And I think it came up on occasion that technically he had no gender.
Okay.
But I think they always referred to him as he. Well, and it was played by René Auberjonois,
who was
a guy.
Who's a guy, but, you know, that's neither here nor there, really. But if they referred
But I love him.
To him as a he, well, that pretty
I don't
much...
I remember. Somebody look it up.
That pretty much settles it.
Yep. So there. The attachment dealt with some early discussion of you being like the people in the Prohibition time and not drinking. And so they responded with some Wikipedia stuff about how actually during Prohibition, people drank their asses off. And so you don't know what you're talking about and suck or something.
Well, no,
I don't remember.
Of course, that's true. In
I'm
fact,
fairly certain the person who wrote this doesn't listen anymore, so I don't really care if I get it wrong.
In fact, I'm sure drink a lot of people drank more, and some people who weren't drinking before started drinking. But I think we've covered this ground before, that's not really what I was saying. What I was saying was, you could... Maybe I should put it this way. And we've kind of referred to it this way before. Today, if I go to a Methodist church, I might be the only... I'm very likely the only person who's visiting the church or who's in the service or in the congregation or whatever who's never even touched alcohol. If you go back... 100 years or whatever, that wouldn't be true. If I go to a Methodist church, there would be more than just me.
But, I mean, to me, to a certain degree, that becomes true of anything at a certain point.
Well,
like,
yeah, I suppose if, crack or something like well, that. But or, alcohol was around. I mean,
or
drank.
If you're a 20-year-old and you go into a group of a bunch of other 20-year-olds, odds are you're in a much smaller community if you're still a virgin than you would have been as a 20-year-old 100 years ago.
Okay, but
or
that's not,
if you're
that's
the only person
meaningful?
Who goes into a Methodist church and
yes, but
see, has never left the country, no, you're probably
but,
fewer of
but
that.
But the point is that Methodism used to include sort of a, well, you know, you don't do this. It's not like you could get kicked out of the church for doing it, although some churches may have been like that. It's just, it wasn't, there was a time where it wasn't unusual to find, well, they had a name for it, teetotaler, you know, teetotalism. Mm-hmm. And there were people who were, you know, you would know more than one person who was like that.
Well, and I'll grant you, because I believe back then it was much more of a social movement.
Well, right.
I still think you can find plenty of them,
but I
just don't tend to announce
mean,
it.
I didn't
much.
Mean to suggest there was a time in history where people drank less, especially during the Prohibition era. That wasn't what I was saying. I was just saying that it wasn't someone like me who's never drank was not that unusual in previous eras, even during Prohibition.
And I do think you do often remind me of a 100-year-old Methodist
that you know,
in general, your weeks are about as active and interesting as I would think 100-year-old Methodists are. So
yeah,
man, I have put up with your shit for 25 weeks, and I'm telling you,
I know.
I don't know if I can take it anymore.
I've listened ever since because I did get a response from someone about that before, and I realized that okay, that was completely misunderstood based on what I was saying. But ever since then, I'll listen to our broadcast and I'll think, oh man, that could have been taken 1,000 different ways. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if someone, you know, responds to that in a way that I didn't intend.
They don't care anymore.
Apparently not, because no one, that's the only time anyone's ever,
you know what it is, actually,
taken something I said.
It's because those people don't listen anymore. We are down to the juicy center, the core, the heart of our loyal listeners who still listen, and the people that are left, they get us.
They get us.
Everything we say, they know what we mean because they understand us. They are our brothers and sisters from other mothers, which doesn't roll off the tongue as easily when you include sisters, but there's some out there.
It's brothers so, from another mother and
also
sisters
from
another mister.
Oh my God, I hate you.
You never heard that
no,
before?
No, I hate you.
Well, I've heard that before. I didn't make it up.
Yeah, you and your hillbilly people. But, yeah, see, what we're left with is the solid and also juicy core of listeners.
So when we say something that's,
time and they
that's
get
vague and imprecise, they don't jump to some conclusion.
No, they know exactly what we mean.
Before they have a chance to hear what we
exactly,
really meant.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. They get us. They understand. Takes a lot.
Yep.
And the others just couldn't take it. They were like, so many meanings. I can't do this anymore. And so they stopped listening.
Yeah.
That's how it works,
I guess. I don't know.
I brought a listener back. I did bring one listener back.
Did you?
And I know he's already up to date again. So.
Oh, well, good.
Like, listen to all of them in between. But I don't think we've gotten a new listener in a while, except Sue. Hi, Sue. And I don't know that she listened more than like one episode, or she's probably starting from the beginning, so who knows. But other than that, I don't think we've gotten a new listener in a long time. But we have our core of crucial ones.
Yep.
Our hard,
hard
hats, as it were. We've lost our hatlings and our hatterers and our haberdashers and hataphiliacs. And we lived with the hard hats. But we love you.
Yes, we do.
Hard hats. We love you, hard hats. Oh, yes, we do. We love you, hard hats.
No, you have to put a little gap there. We love you, hard hats. Like that.
But then they might misinterpret it. Wait!
Oh,
no, they
shoot.
Can't! Because
they
won't.
They know us.
Yes.
They will not misinterpret
it. We don't.
It.
We love you, but not in a gay way.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that at all.
Okay.
Hard hats, we want to lay you down by the fire and set your hair on fire. No, wait, that's not.
No.
That's still my favorite. My favorite pickup line of all time.
What's that?
Well, I don't know. You heard of some of these where they say, like, is your daddy a baker? Then how come you so sweet? And there's several like this. And my favorite has always been, is your daddy a thief? Because I think he just stole my car.
My car?
Yes.
I think you got that wrong.
No. No, we invented this one in college. The actual line is supposed to be, is your daddy a thief because he stole the stars and put them in your eyes?
Oh, how sweet.
But when we were passing, we used to like to use really, really bad pickup lines at the lunch, at the dinner table in college. And at one time, I think I said to a friend of mine, I said, is your daddy a thief? And she said, because I think he just stole my car. And I decided that was the best pickup line ever. My second favorite is, can I buy you a drink or do I have to sleep with you first? I am fond of that one.
That's not much of a pickup line.
It's better than, is your daddy a thief? Because I think he just stole my car.
Yeah. Quite a bit better.
Yes. And it's also better than, do you like apples? Say, well, I want to fuck you. How do you like them apples? See, it's much better than that. Oh, God, I'm hearing beeping. The stupid portable air conditioner is broken again.
No, is it?
It's not broken, but it's not a window unit, and so it doesn't have a place to drip out all the...
Oh, you have to empty the water.
Exactly, and it's beeping, so it's full. So we'll deal with that shortly, because we're almost out of time, people.
Well, we got to draw another one. There's only three here.
Three is fine.
Oh, okay.
Three, that's a magic number.
Okay, well, we want to thank Kia and Anonymous for your submissions.
Yes. If you would like to write the hat, and I know that you would, you should email the hat with a question or a topic at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You don't have to write a lot of questions. You could write one or two or three, something like that. Try and keep your questions relatively terse, because the hat gets writer's cramp writing too much, and the hat can only write so much on a little tiny half a 3x5 card. So really, think of it like a tweet.
And
just put like 140 characters or so.
Tell people what they need to do if they want to criticize something vague we've said.
Yes, if you want to criticize something vague we've said, you have to get in line. But you should go to the blog, because there are lots of people like to criticize something vague we said. The blog is themagicaltalkinghat.com. And you go there and you can get little snippets of what other people have to say about the show. Also what Mark thought of every single aspect of the show. And other just funny little tidbits we sometimes throw in there. We had a lot of activity earlier in the week. Suddenly things had kind of picked up. I don't know what that was about. You can also find us on Facebook, The Magical Talking Hat on Facebook. You can like us there. We would like for you to like us. And if you really want to put a big smile on my face, go out to iTunes and give us an iTunes review. Because so far, we still just have that one from Azure Talon, and it wasn't very good. He only gave us 3 stars, and the title of his review is Tony Whined About It, so here it is. So really, something to sort of dilute that imagery would be nice. And give us a sense like we really do exist. Because next week, going to be episode 26, half a year.
Half a year, that's
half
right.
Half a year. Sounds like a good time to stop.
No.
But I think that every week, so.
No.
No, we will stick around as long as we have one question in this freaking hat. And one listener, by which I mean Mark, we will keep going.
What happens when I come over here and there is nothing in the hat? What happens?
Smoke a little weed, play some video games.
Okay.
Look at some porn.
I'm up for the video games.
Yeah, you are.
The other stuff you can do.
Smoke a little porn, look at some weed. Play a little porn, smoke some video games. Something like that.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you don't know what we'll do if that happens.
I don't know what we will do. I think it's some combination of porn, video games, and weed. I know that. But I just don't know what we'll do.
But it's
do
not
with
going
what.
To be recorded. Is that what I'm getting?
I think that might be illegal.
Okay. So if ever people visit our website and it's like Friday morning and there's no new post there from a broadcast, you'll know.
That's what happened.
That we ran out.
That won't happen because if we run out, I ain't paying the money I'm paying to keep that damn website. So whenever you go there and it's just gone, then you know that's what it is. This costs money, people. You want fame? Well, fame costs. And apparently it costs more than I'm paying because we are not very famous.
Not very famous, no.
But we have good audience and we like them. And once again, next week, we will talk to you again. So I've been Tony.
And I've been William.
And he might still be William. And we will talk to you next week with episode 26.
26.
We're going to watch some video games, smoke some porn, and...
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.